Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm Sean Haney, founder of realagriculture.com and host of Real Ag Radio that you can listen to every day on Rural Radio 147. You can find more episodes of this podcast by going to mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Today's topic on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast is all about programming available to your farm business. Many times on this podcast, we focus on operational and strategic areas of the business, but there are some support and enhancement programs available for farmers and ranchers to really help and enable success. Whether it's business risk management programs through the AgriSuite or ad hoc COVID-19 related programming, it's important to evaluate and use all the tools available to you. Today we're going to talk with Marvin Slingerland of MNP based in Lethbridge, Alberta. Marvin assists farmers and ranchers across the country through the MNP agricultural team. Here's my discussion with Marvin Slingerland. Hey Marvin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Sean. It's a beautiful day here in Lethbridge and lots of activity happening in the livestock sector again this week and in agriculture in general with another funding announcement today from the government.
Yeah.
Food processors.
Lots going on. There's no shortage of news or opinions on some of the solutions out there for some of the struggles of the livestock sector, but there definitely is some things to be dealt with. So what we're going to talk about today is to make sure that all the listenership here of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast is aware of some of the programs from the government that are out there. You know, a lot of times we throw around acronyms, we throw around names, and we talk about them, but when we get down to the details, not everybody understands them, and there is some confusion out there. So we're going to cover not only some programs that have been in place for a while, but some of the ad hoc programs the government has recently announced during this COVID-19 crisis. So let's start off first, Marvin, with the business risk management programs. You know, the AgriSuite. We've got AgriInvest, AgriStability, and AgriRecovery. How do they fit into these current times?
So a lot of industry groups the last few weeks, they've been going to government asking for funding for COVID-related losses. And the main message given back to these groups by government is to utilize the business risk management programs in place already, as you mentioned, which is AgriStability, AgriInvest, and potentially AgriRecovery vehicles. So AgriStability is the primary one that would help producers. Basically, it looks at your last five-year average of profitability or gross margin on the farm. And if you realize a 30% loss, 30% drop in your margin in the current year, you start triggering a payment through AgriStability to help fund that loss.
Now, is AgriStability the one that has the payment cap on it?
It does, Sean. So producers are capped at a $3 million payment. So, and this is a huge issue for a lot of our larger producers across the country, whether it's large grain operations, feedlot, or large horticulture enterprises, greenhouses, tree nurseries, some of the larger hog farms. They're all impacted by the $3 million cap.
Yeah, and that's what I hear from a lot of, you know, mainly from the feed yard sector, is like, that's why it doesn't really work for me. Like, you know, and then you can kind of look at the scale of the businesses and what it's there to do. It doesn't really kind of meet some of the needs. So what is AgriInvest for the listenership?
So AgriInvest is basically a rainy day fund. So they take a percentage of your total allowable sales for the year and match it by 1%. So, and the max payment you can get is $10,000 a year. You put in $10,000, government matches $10,000. You build up a rainy day AgriInvest account, and you can take that money out when you need it. So the problem with a lot of producers, Sean, is government looks at these bank accounts. So across the country, there's millions and millions saved in AgriInvest accounts. And now at a time like this, producers are asking for more money. The government looks at the balances and says, well, what's going on, guys? You're saving money in AgriInvest account. You should be using that money before we hand out any more money.
Okay, and so what's, is there an answer to that? Is there a reason why producers don't draw down some of those AgriInvest accounts in times like this?
It's a bit of a messaging issue as well. So government looks at the aggregate total. A lot of the money saved in the AgriInvest accounts are in the grain sector. And right now, the grain sector is not really impacted that much by COVID. The livestock sector, hog sector, dairy farms, their AgriInvest balances are generally a lot smaller just due to the calculation of AgriInvest. So we've been talking to producers and saying, it's probably something you should be taking out more regularly because just the perception of asking for more money when you're sitting on balances. Government also has to realize that the losses being generated right now, especially in the feedlot sector, is far greater than it, AgriInvest balances on an individual feedlot.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, AgriRecovery.
So AgriRecovery is so under the BRM suite, over the last 5 years, government budgets about $1.6 billion a year for BRM. So of that $1.6 billion, $1 million of that generally goes into agri-insurance. So like here in Alberta, that would fund 60% of crop insurance. That would be across the country, province by province. $300 million roughly goes into agri-stability payments a year. $200 million roughly goes into agri-invest payments. And $100 million generally funds agri-recovery. So agri-recovery has to be declared by the government. So if there's a disaster, government can come in and say, we'll help fund this disaster through agri-recovery, and then money is given into that program. So with the TB situation several years ago, with the forest fires in BC, money was allocated to producers due to a disaster through that vehicle. So that is one option producers are asking for, is to have more funds allocated into agri-recovery for COVID.
And just to review, the agri-stability, you talked about it's looking at the five-year margin, and it's a drop of 30%. And this is where groups right now are trying to get change that from the 70% to the 85%. That's one of the things that people are asking for.
Correct. So there has been a lot of pressure put on government by industry to change it back to the 85% trigger point. It was changed to 30% back in 2013. I'm not sure what the appetite is for government to move back up to 85. The biggest issue actually for the cow-calf sector is the reference margin limit. So they can have their average margin, but they're limited by their average allowable expenses. So on a cow-calf operation, or even some grain farms where they're allowable expenses are relatively low. Like a cow-calf, all you do is buy a little bit of feed, maybe some replacement cows. Their margin is ground down to that average of your allowable expenses. So it's very hard to trigger a payment in agri-stability for cow-calf operations. So the better ask for the cow-calf sector is to get rid of the reference margin limit and even maintain that 30% trigger point. And the program will actually work really, really good for them.
So I've heard some producers say, like, listen here, this suite was designed and meant for grain farmers. Is that a fair statement, or is that maybe not exactly accurate?
I would disagree with that statement, Sean. Basically, every farm, you can look at your average margin. It doesn't really matter if you're a grain farm, dairy farm, poultry, feedlot, cow-calf. No matter what your expense structure is, you'll have your historical margin of profitability. So anything that triggers a drop in your margin of 30%, whether it's price related, whether it's production issues on the farm, whether it's market issues with pricing grain, anything on any farm that triggers that drop in your margin will trigger agri-stability. So it's very reactive for grain farms, feedlots, cow-calf sectors. The two big issues are the reference margin limit for operations like some grain farms, some cow-calf operations, and the cap limit for large intensive farms. If those two things were fixed, the BRM suite would be a perfect solution for things that are going on in the marketplace right now.
We're going to get back to the rest of my conversation with Marvin Slingerland of MNP, but first a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast is brought to you by RBC. In the midst of this global pandemic, producers face a unique set of challenges and risks. The Agriculture Account Managers at RBC are here to help you protect the well-being of your farm, family, and business. Visit rbc.com/businessrelief to learn more about the services and support available. Well, the government's also come out with some ad hoc programs that are meant for the, you know, all Canadians that are in business, but they do apply to agriculture as well. And one of them is the wage subsidy. Explain how this fits for ag.
Correct, Sean. So there's two wage subsidies producers can apply for. So one is a temporary wage subsidy. So basically, there's a max of $25,000 you can get per farm, and you just reduce your payroll liabilities by 10% to a maximum of approximately $1,500 per employee and $25,000 per farm. So that's there's no other criteria attached to that wage subsidy. So that one should apply to most farms. The other one is the Canadian Emergency Wage Subsidy, which is a 75% reimbursement of your wages for a month. In order to trigger that one, you need to have a 15% drop in revenue, gross revenue, for the last half of March, or else 30% drop in gross revenue for May and April. So if your farm operation meets those conditions, you can get 75% of your wages reimbursed. It's a very complex application, and it will definitely be audited. The problem with farms is timing of sales is pretty sporadic in most cases. So grain farm may have grain sales in March of 2019, but in March 2020, they don't. So that you can argue, I had a 30% drop in revenue year over year. Other farms might have increased sales and they don't qualify. So we see potentially some feedlots triggering this wage subsidy with the lack of sales due to the plant closures. But for the most part, most ag industries, aside from greenhouses or nurseries, would not qualify for this wage subsidy.
Isn't one of the other issues, though, Marvin, the fact that some farms don't necessarily pay themselves a wage in the traditional sense we think about business? Because I've heard that from a few producers, like, well, I'm not going to qualify for wage subsidy because I don't pay myself that way. Is that fair?
That is correct. And that is an issue. The Minister of Agriculture is aware of that because a lot of farms, as you mentioned, Sean, take out wages or draws as dividends or sole proprietor, and whatever's left over is taxed in their personal tax return. So they've fallen out of some of this criteria for wages paid to themselves. And actually where these farms got caught is on the Canadian Emergency Business Loan, the $40,000 loan, which you can get. And if you pay it back within 2 years, 25% of the loan is forgiven. That one had a criteria of paying wages. So a lot of small farm operations with no employees were left out of the application for that loan.
Now, I know that you spend a lot of your time like deep into some of these programs and understand them very well. Do you find, whether it's the business risk management suite or it's some of these ad hoc programs, that sometimes people make the assumption they don't qualify and they may be leaving some opportunity on the table?
100%. So there's a lot of myths, though, in the industry on whether ag facility works for your farm. It's a fairly complex program if you don't understand how it works. So a lot of people got out of the program in 2013 when changes were made, but the program did a few changes 2 years ago that made it better. And the program does react if you have that significant drop in your margin. Mm-hmm. And every farm should look at their business from a risk management perspective. And it's not going to trigger every year, but when there's a disaster or a huge disruption in the market, what's going on right now, especially in the feedlot sector, the program will absolutely kick in.
Great stuff. Hey, Marvin, really appreciate you talking to us here today, and I look forward to our next chance to chat on the Mind Your Farm Business podcast.
You bet. Thanks, Sean.
Trying to decipher programming is not easy. It's not fun, and something that most farmers don't look forward to at all. Many of you probably outsource this kind of work to your accountant, but it's important to have an understanding of what is available so that you can be knowledgeable when you do talk to some of those external consultants. And one of the things that we learned from Marvin is don't just make an assumption. Just because your neighbor didn't get a payout in one of the agri-stability programs, it doesn't mean that that's the same thing for you. I hope you enjoyed today's discussion. If you have any feedback, please email me at shaney@realagriculture.com or call the Real Ag listener line at 855-776-6147. You can find more episodes of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast at mindyourfarmbusiness.com. Thanks to RBC Royal Bank. And until next time, keep on minding your farm business.